Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much that we can come here and we can hear your word, Lord, and then we can, Lord, we can ponder the things that you say. And Lord, there's not a word in that Bible that's not meant for us, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you that you are a great God and a good God that can give us your word, that we can read it and we can learn. And Lord, that we can share. And Father, we just thank you for that. Just thank you for your word, Lord. Amen. So, yeah, tonight we are obviously going for the parable of the sower. And you might wonder why we had a scripture in Isaiah. Well, that's because that was a prophetic message that Jesus used within the parable of the sower. And we'll hit that a little bit later, just in case you wondered. But so Jesus was walking around and he wanted to talk to the people and give messages to the people. And occasionally he did that in a parable. And we'll go on to some people go through the understanding of a parable before you go through the parable. We're going to do it the other way around. We're actually going to read it as it comes. So we're going to do the parable and then talk about it. But really what Jesus is doing, he's going to give a story about a sower. A sower, you know, was a farmer that had seed. And he was going around sowing seed into the ground, hoping to get a good crop. And Jesus is going to talk about four soils that the seeds land on. And he's going to give this message to the people. He was in Galilee. Jesus was in Galilee, and he'd been going from place to place. And at this point, he was down by the sea. Hopefully, it's on, not quite on the screen yet. But he starts on this parable, verse 1. It says, "On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him. So they got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." So Jesus, I mean, he's on the shore and all these people have gathered around him. And he's thinking, okay, I need to address it. I need to talk to these people that have turned up. And there's a multitude. There's lots and lots of people. So he decides to go into a boat and sit down and teach from there. And then all the people stood up and listened. Now, I thought we should do that. So I'm going to get a seat and you guys can always stand up. But just to get a full picture of it. But you can imagine him just being pushed out into this water and addressing the people out there. At this point, he was down in the Sea of Galilee. So I hope we've got a little map up there. Can I do this? I think I can. So obviously this is the Sea of Galilee here. And obviously Jesus from Nazareth, he would have been going walking around, and he's actually landed here. And this supposedly is the view looking towards Nazareth from the Sea of Galilee. And we say the Sea of Galilee, it's really a giant lake, but it's called the Sea of Galilee. It was an enclosed piece of water. A giant lake, if you like. But his heart was for the people. He wanted to stand here and give them a message while he sat on this boat talking to this crowd. And you think, how can he talk to that many people? You know, this, how did the sound travel? Apparently it's really good acoustics around that area. But for people like, you might have heard of Whitfield. In America, the preacher Whitfield preached and talked without a mic to 60,000 people. And you can just think, wow, how did he do that? And he stopped on one occasion because he was trying to find out whether they could actually hear him, and they couldn't. And he stopped and prayed to God for help with that situation, and then they could hear. And it was like one of these miracles, that this thing that he could actually preach to this many people, and God allowed that to happen. If Jesus can control the weather, he can certainly control the sound of how a voice travels. But he's sitting here, so he's not crowded, he's in the sea, and he's able to talk to all these people that are there listening, wanting to hear what he has to say. Some of them probably just went along to see what's going on. Probably some of them just wanted to go along with their friends. Some of them just might have been passing by, thought, what's this crowd? You know, what's happened? And they've gone down there to see. But, you know, he's there and he wants to address all those people. And that's what he does. He wants people to hear his word. And that's what he does. And we start this scripture, this is from verse 3. "And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow." Nice and easy. A sower went out to sow. Why is he using this? Why is he using this terminology, this farming? What was around at that time? People could understand it. Okay, people could understand whether it's talking about farming or fishing. they were there. They had that every, in their everyday life, so they could understand it and they could make connections to it. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. The wayside's like the path. It's that hard bit of ground at the edge where people walk, and it's compressed. So when you throw sowed seeds onto it, they just land on top. They don't go anywhere. They just land on top. And the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up and they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And as he sowed some seeds, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded a crop, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. It says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And he mentions that a few times in Scripture. And it's like, you know, this, you've got to listen to this. This is important. Those who have ears, listen. And his disciples came to him and said to him, why do you speak them in parables? Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it has been not given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But so whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, Jesus talks in parables because it was a message that could, like I said, correspond with the people. They could understand what's going on. But also there was a spiritual side. So a parable was a spiritual message tied to a physical message. Like I said, it was done for a couple of reasons. But it was given for them to understand the mysteries of God. And some not. So why are some people understanding and some people not understanding? It was the attitude of their heart. And that decided whether they understood or not. For those who want to hear, they can hear. And for those who don't want to know, will be critical and they won't understand. And this was done so those who are there who wanted to know more, who wanted to understand more about the Saviour that was in front of them, could hear and understand. Jesus says, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. So we have this. Jesus is going to quote from Isaiah, or has quoted from Isaiah. Well, we're going to see it on the next scripture, on the next slide. But he's going to quote from Isaiah. And it literally ticks off another prophecy that Isaiah said. You know, the Bible wasn't written by one man. We get that a lot. I don't know if you've ever talked to people and they say, it was just written by man. You know, it's nothing from God. It's just a man. Man wrote it. But it wasn't. It was over 40 men. 40 authors over 2,000 years in three different languages, inspired by one God. 66 books. 39 in the old, 27 in the new. All packaged together so you and I can read them. That's amazing, you know. But in what Jesus is doing here, he's clarifying one of the books. He's saying, look, this is Isaiah. I believe Isaiah. I'm reading it to you and I'm quoting it from you. This is what Isaiah said, and now I'm sharing it with you. This is the time for this prophecy to be revealed and understood. Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand. He says, seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Some say waxed in some versions, but their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. The hearts is the term there. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. You know you have ears in your heart. You think they're not just on the side of your head, you have them in your heart too. And there's this spiritual tube that goes from your ear to your heart. And those get blocked. Some people don't want to hear, they don't want to understand. They're maybe scared, or they just don't, determined not to be converted, determined not to believe. And this line gets blocked. But we need to have that remain open. When God speaks to us, it should go into our heart. There's other scriptures that say that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, usually you can tell a person by what they say. You know what's in their heart. This is the scripture from Isaiah that Jesus speaks from. And he said, go and tell this people, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes. Lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. Now God wants people. This is the way this sounds. You can think, he's stopping them doing that. But he's not. It's our choice. It's our choice whether we want to believe. It's our choice whether we want to believe that what we're reading is from God. And you know, it's ultimate. He wants people to understand and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and return and be healed. God wants people to be saved. God wants people to hear with their hearts. Jesus says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, as he's sitting there talking. And your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and hear what you hear and did not hear it. There was prophets and righteous people in the Old Testament, in the past, like Isaiah, that said these prophecies and never got to hear them fulfilled. And they're long gone. But they said these things for our benefit and for the disciples' benefit. And how blessed were they to hear the fulfillment of this prophecy? And how blessed are we for the prophecies that are being fulfilled today? And there's many more. We should be looking out for them, because they're going to happen. What the Bible says does come to fruition. It does happen. We're in a blessed generation. We're seeing so many things that people haven't seen before. From Israel returning to a state, to the things that are happening around us, the earthquakes and such like, pestilences, illnesses. They're things to come. They're things that are pointing to a direction that we know we're going in. And how horrible they all are, it means that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming close. Every day we're getting closer to the return of Jesus, which is kind of exciting. We don't know when that is, but you know, if there's things that point to it, and it's very, very, I'd like to think it's very close. Long to be with Jesus. When you see all the things that are going on in this world, it'd be a good thing. So Jesus is now going to answer this parable. And it's wonderful. He doesn't do that with all the parables, but he answers this one. It sort of sets a key. So if you understand this one, you can understand the other ones. And there's quite a few. There's over 30 in the Gospels alone. Depending on who you read, others say up to 40. If you go through the whole Bible, some say 250 to 500, but there are treasures in there that we can dig for, especially in the Gospel. But Jesus is going to lay this one out. He's going to explain it to his disciples and ultimately us, so that we can understand it. In verse 18 it says, therefore hear the parable of the sower. And when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives the seed by the wayside. So let's just listen to that again. So hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. So what we had the seed on the wayside that the birds came and devoured. So the seed that is sown is the word of God. Jesus is using the soils that they land into to describe how people's hearts are taking that message that's going out there. When you hear the word and you're not taking it in, and maybe you don't understand, and as soon as it's gone in one ear, it shoots out the other. Might have somebody say, "Man, I heard the other day that God created the world." And his mate says, "No, that was evolution." Oh, okay. As quick as that, it's gone. The seed that's sown has been taken by somebody. And this next soil, but he receives the seed on stony places. This is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. When I started to believe, I was so excited that I was really annoying. People didn't want to be around me. All my so-called non-Christian friends, they just didn't want to hear what I had to share. And they just saw quite a difference. I came up against people who were concerned for me. They thought I was being led into a cult. There was such a change in me. Friends couldn't get it. They just couldn't get it. And some family started to warn me to be careful. Warn me. All I could have is this joy, excitement that I found God, I found my Saviour, and they were warning me against it. And then, you know, I look back now and I think, wow, so close, so close. I was like a fish swimming in the opposite direction to all the other fish, against the current. That's the way it felt like it. Going against the flow. I had other tradesmen. I mean, I not long started my apprenticeship. I had other tradesmen who were trying to pull my leg. It still happens. It was hard, but I carried on. I can understand people falling away when those things happen because it's really uncomfortable. My root was already growing, so that it held fast. And when these things happen and still do, I can stand firm. I might not like what's being said or going on, but you stand firm because my belief in it is stronger than what anybody else can say. Now, he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. This ultimately describes religion. It says, you're religious, aren't you? I said, no, I've got a relationship with God. I'm not religious. Religion is following a way, going through the motions, but not letting it sink into the heart. It's almost acting like a Christian rather than being a Christian. Thorns came in when sin came in the Garden of Eden. Sin is easy. It's natural, but it chokes out the growth. Brambles are easy to grow. In my garden, I have brambles. In our garden, should I say. They grow. I didn't plant them. I didn't put them there. They grow every year, and they grow quick. You know, you can go in, turn, come back out again, and there's 3 metres of bramble on the floor. Think, where did that come from? It's got thorns and everything. I didn't plant it. Yeah, we have plants, rare plants that I want to grow. I struggle with them. they need care and attention. They need to survive. They need to be cultivation. They need food. They need water. Certain waters. I know Josh at the moment has just got some that only will take rainwater. Otherwise, you can kill it. Don't worry about drinking tap water when the plants don't like it. That's a bit worrying. They need light. They need space to grow. You plant them too close to another plant, the plant takes all the goodness out of the soil and runs off, and then you just have no nutrients going into the plant that you want to keep. Rare plants are like righteousness. In Mark, he calls it the lusts of the world and the cares of the world. They hold us back in growth. They stop us moving forward. And the more we play with the world, the less we remember and want heaven. We end up worshipping the creation and not the creator. Spurgeon said, "The doctrine of grace, when it takes possession of the mind and governs the heart, produces the purest results. But if it is held in unrighteousness, it is a curse rather than a blessing to have a head of knowledge. Is it not a dreadful thing to believe God's revelation without receiving God's Spirit? This is it, to accept a well, but never to drink of the water. And to accept corn in the barn, but yet die of hunger. God have mercy upon the possessors of dead faith." It's a difference between knowing of God and knowing God. But this last soil. "But he receives a seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Good soil produces good fruit. And in turn you become a sower in itself. The plants that are grown, seed, and can reproduce. We can't always work out where the seeds are going to land. I'm going to demonstrate. Hold on a second. I borrowed Josh. There you go. I warned him. Izzy, can you hold that bucket? Just stand up and hold it there. It'll be fine. Hey, nothing's dangerous that's going to hit you, okay? It's all soft. So just put that in your hand. Squeeze it really tightly. You get one throw, because I've only got one lot of seeds. You've got to hit the bucket. Easy as that.
Yeah.
One throw. Go on in. Didn't quite. If you did it again, don't worry about them. Leave them there. That's all right. They're quite light. Maybe we should have got Izzy to stand a bit closer. Anyway. But we don't know where they land. You know, when it's sowing the seeds, some's going to fall on the side. Some's going to fall on rocky parts. Some's going to fall on good soil. We can take on board, for those that are sowing, you can't always know where the seed's going to land. You might not see the path or the thorns about to grow, like we don't in our garden. Seed travels far and quickly sometimes. And we don't see the effects. We don't see the plant grow because it's just too far away. But there's a message for us as well. You know, this isn't just a message for new Christians or people that are looking to become a Christian. This is a message for the most mature Christians. This is somebody who's been in it for years, that we can still take heart from this message and still learn from it. We can look into our own hearts and see what soil we've got. What soil have we got? You know, being saved doesn't necessarily mean that sometimes the ground isn't rocky or overgrown with thorns or dry from no watering. We need to ask God to prepare us ready to grow, that God can change our hearts so that the word can grow in them, and to have less earth and more heaven, as it were, so that we can grow more fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30. I always used to think that was people being saved. And I suppose it is, in a sense, down the line. It's not talking about that. It's how your seed lands that you throw. Sometimes it can reach 100 people. Sometimes it'll reach 60. 60 want to listen, some 30. If we're not growing and producing fruit, how can we expect to be able to sow? So we need to first get our heart right. Our heart right with the Lord. You know, the next parable that Matthew is the wheat and the tares. I'm not going to go all through it today. We're running out of time. But it's the wheat and the tares. And that's talking about bad seeds growing with the good. Bad plants growing with the good. And again, it's using like wheat as this good seed and tares as bad seed. I think I really met a tare the other day. I don't suppose it's for me to decide, really, but it certainly came across that way. He was a Christian, a leader in the church, but he said he didn't believe in any form of evangelism, which rang alarm bells straight away. On top of that, he didn't believe in creation, but he also said he hasn't met anybody who can convert to evolution. It's just a bit of a shock. You know, he's somebody that's going around that doesn't believe in talking to people. But when he does, he's actually putting them on away from the Bible and onto worldly things. But it reminded me, sometimes when we sow, that some people are sowing bad seed at the same time. And that's from the devil. So we need to pray for a good harvest. We need to pray that God can change our hearts so that we can understand and sow more. You might feel like your growth's stunned. What I've learned from plants is that they're very hard-wearing in the sense that they keep coming back. They can keep coming back. I chopped a pear tree down in the garden, down to a stub like that, about 3 years ago. And that's now growing pears again. I wanted to take it down, but now it's growing pears again. I feel like I need to leave it up. There's always a chance that God can change us. God can refresh us, and refresh our growth, and refresh what we can do and we can sow to other people. You know, the miracles in the seed, and that's something we haven't got any control over. That's from God. It's God's word. We can't change that. Now, we just do the throwing. God does the rest. We just have to throw the seed, no matter where it lands. We don't know the outcome of that, but God can do a miracle. Some seeds stay dormant for years, and then they start to grow. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, what a message in so little verses. Lord, you have for us such a life that we can share your word. Lord, that you enable us to be able to share that seed that you allow to grow in us. Lord, what a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'll just help every heart in this room. Lord, that you allow us to hear your word and allow it to grow in us in a mighty way. That, Lord, we can have fruit that we can sow. Lord, don't allow your words to be silenced. Lord, help us to have courage just to sow. Lord, help us to realize that it's not our job to save people. It's our job just to tell them about you. And you do the saving. You've saved them already. They just need to know about you. Just need to accept what you've done for them. And Lord, we just thank you for your amazing Bible, Lord. We thank you for all the authors that wrote their books under your inspiration, that we can read about times of old, times that are coming in the times that are now. Lord, that you give us wonderful scripture to foretell what's going to happen. Nobody can deny it. It is undeniable. And Lord, we just help. Pray for help, Lord, that you can place an urgency on our hearts. Because Lord, we know you're coming back soon. You're going to take us into the air. We'll be able to worship you completely freely, Lord. But Lord, you know who needs to be saved. You know who still needs to be thrown a seed. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with us this week as we ponder your word. Amen.